This is Jean Latchoff from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from various ladies' magazines, and I'll try to remember to list the source on each one. And let's begin with one from Glamour magazine. Single, married, broken up, your relationship status affects your wealth. Here's what you need to know. We're going to give it to you straight. After about 10 years, married people have about 4 times as much wealth as single people, says Jay Zagorski, an economist at Ohio State University who studied marital wealth trends. The best thing you can do to increase your wealth is to get married and stay happily married. Wait, what? In 2018, are the finances of coupledom still so retro? In some ways, yes. But, needless to say, that doesn't mean you should find the closest available single person and say your vows. Here's what you what to know about your relationship status, whatever it is, and how it can affect your net worth and how to protect yourself accordingly. If you're coupled up, what's good? First things first. What's up with those findings about marrieds being wealthier? It's partially because relationships can provide a safety net. A spouse can be a cushion if you lose your job or hit a rough patch, says Carrie Sweeney, vice president of women investors at Fidelity Investments, whereas single women without enough savings may fall into debt. Economies of scale, everything from splitting rent to sharing groceries, can also help marrieds quickly build wealth. That's the value of your assets, like savings and stocks and property, minus any debt. Cohabitating couples get some of these benefits, though not as many since they don't typically combine finances and can't take advantage of things like some tax breaks and joint benefits. Insurers and lenders may see married couples with 2 incomes as more reliable than singles and thus might offer lower premium or repayment rates, making it easier to sock away for home buying or retirement savings. The net effect? A woman's wealth increases about 16% per year after walking down the aisle. What's not good? Marriage typically hurts a woman's overall salary and career advancement, dinging her lifetime earnings, according to PayScale, an online salary and compensation data company. Why? Women still tend to sacrifice their career for their spouse, say by moving for the partner's job or leaving work to take care of kids. That can make financial sense at the time. Perhaps his salary is higher or the opportunity's bigger. But you don't have the same economic security if death or divorce happen, say Pepper Schwartz, a professor of sociology at the University of Washington. Stay-at-homes face an even steeper penalty. Women lose 19% of their lifetime earning power when they take 5 years off, starting at age 26, for caregiving, the Center for American Progress found. To offset the damage, if you take time off for family needs and plan to jump back in later, keep your skills fresh. Take courses, renew certifications, or do strategic volunteer projects in your industry through sites like catchafire.org or idealist.org, says Carol Fishman Cohen, CEO of career reentry firm iRelaunch. You have to stay current. That shows employers you're a serious candidate with clear value, she says. It's also critical to stay involved in your family finances. Only 22% of married women over 25 say they're the primary money decision maker, according to a Fidelity retirement study. You both have to be in the financial front seat, says Sweeney, to ensure you're prepared for the unexpected. Know what you own and owe as a couple. Put both your names on documents like a mortgage or insurance policy and set money goals together. And if you're single, what's good? Compared with their married counterparts, single women with or without kids face a smaller gender wage gap. And women with a college degree who remain single until they're at least 30 earn up to $18,152 more a year than married peers, one study found. Not having a partner also means single women become their own financial experts, says Mariko Ling Chang, Ph.D., author of Shortchanged, Why Women Have Less Wealth and What Can Be Done About It. They don't have to answer to anyone, and they realize they're good at managing money. Plus, singles are never surprised by a spouse's maxed-out credit card. You can create goals that will benefit you as opposed to you plus your family, says New York City career expert Jill Jacinto. What's not good? Your wealth. Chang's research found that the average single woman has just $3,210 of wealth, compared with $10,150 for a single guy and $78,000 for married couples. The gap is even worse for single women of color. To offset the damage, well, since you're solely in charge of seeing your earnings grow, Chang says to make sure you're being paid what you're worth by researching salaries for similar roles in your area. I push women to negotiate as much as possible early on because that sets you up for the rest of your career, says Jacinto. Next, start saving now. It's the best thing you can do to build wealth, says Chang. The benefits of compounding interest will leave you better off than if you invest larger sums even 5 or 10 years later. And don't just save, invest. A Fidelity report found that single women are twice as likely as men to say they keep savings in cash. That may mean you miss out on potential long-term growth, says Sweeney. Take advantage of employer-sponsored retirement plans or open your own Roth IRA. Go to RothIRA.com for steps, or services like Betterment, an online financial advisor, can help you make a customized plan. You are your own support system, Sweeney says, so keep your financial engine finely tuned and operating at its best. If you're divorced or thinking about it, what's good? Divorced women feel a surprising sense of happiness when it comes to money, even if they have less of it, Fidelity found. That's because 84% feel more in financial control than when they were married, and almost half say they're in better financial shape post-breakup. Both spouses, especially the one earning less, need to think carefully about how they will live independently after divorce, which may mean lifestyle changes, says Sweeney. Brace yourself, divorce is generally not good for the wallet, but some of those changes can be positive, she says. What's not good? Zagorski's research found divorced couples quickly lost the wealth they'd accumulated together and ended up worse off than peers who'd never married. The drop is tied to a few things: the loss of cost savings measures like splitting a mortgage bill, legal fees, and payments like alimony or child support. To offset the damage, during the divorce, find out how the assets you receive will be taxed, says Courtney M. Weber, a financial planner in Cincinnati. If you own a home, consider whether it could become an albatross. Expenses including insurance and maintenance can become too much for one person to bear. And don't make any major decisions, says Weber, especially if they involve a major purchase. Set a new budget for yourself and keep things lean for the first year to gauge your normal. Adds wealth manager Sharon Bloodworth, the real difference in wealth happens 10 years down the line when alimony and child support end. Downsize quickly so you can put yourself in the best position to thrive. And from Glamour, handle any difficult conversation like a pro. Rule one, step away from the social media. Seeing someone face-to-face sets you up for success, says expert Celeste Headley. Then try these tips for making the conversation count. Give up on the need to have the last word. The last word is important only if you see the conversation as a competition. You're having the talk to create a healthy relationship with that other person. You don't need to agree. You need to get the issue out. End the conversation with kindness and empathy. That was Celeste Headley, author of We Need to Talk, How to Have Conversations That Matter. Next, be an active listener. When you feel hurt, we often block out anyone else's voice. Try what I call speaker/listener. There's only one speaker at a time, and she lets the listener know when she's done talking. Then the listener has to paraphrase what she just heard before adding anything new. It helps people feel heard. And that was Leah Avellino, licensed therapist in New York City. Next, eliminate distractions. Conversations don't work over meals, for example. I mean, if you're ordering and the onions aren't right and all of that, it's distracting. Also, the best listening happens between two people, not the entire family at holiday dinner who will jump in with their views. That was Cindy Finnegan, a professional interventionist in Los Angeles. And last, watch your body language. Don't freeze in place. Make sure your arms and legs are not crossed, that you're not facing an exit so you don't seem in fight or flight mode, And don't move your hands in weapon-like gestures, like a sword coming through the air or a fist coming down. And that was Patty Wood, author of Snap, Making the Most of First Impressions, Body Language, and Charisma. Next, from Good Housekeeping, some quick tips to living a happier and healthier life. Fill your resolution list with easy, good-for-you goals. First, for skincare, stock up on citrus. When you see all those gorgeous in-season grapefruits, oranges, clementines, and pomelos in the produce aisle, grab an armful. Winter citrus can help skin look healthy thanks to vitamin C, which aids in collagen production. In fact, an American Journal of Clinical Nutrition study found that people who ate foods high in C had fewer wrinkles and less age-related dry skin than those who didn't. Try clementine sections sprinkled with pistachios or sweet grapefruit dipped in Greek yogurt for a snack. Next, make veggies the stars. Whether you're slimming down or just staying well, vegetables are your friends, says Good Housekeeping's Dr. Mehmet Oz. He had women try 10 diets for the Great Diet Showdown episode of his show. Tiffany, who lost 31 pounds, said, "I saute onions, peppers, mushrooms, corn, whatever I have in the freezer, and toss that on a bed of baby arugula and spinach. That sounds delicious." Next, for organizational purposes, book all your doctor visits. Open your calendar app and make your appointments for the year in one sitting. Not only will you get the anxiety-inducing nuisance over with, but exams will be less likely to get squeezed out as life gets bonkers. Start with your GP and ask which screenings, such as mammogram, colonoscopy, etc., you're due for. Then slot those in and move on to the dentist's office and eye doctor if necessary. For stress release, get a plant. Swing by the garden center after brunch this weekend. Just the presence of indoor plants can lower human stress levels, research shows, and one study found that actively caring for plants calmed the autonomic nervous system and lowered blood pressure. And when people work near plants, they report greater concentration, satisfaction, and perceived air quality. Scent your space. Because smell is associated with the parts of the brain that process emotion and store memory, certain aromas can affect mood, says olfactory expert Rachel Hertz, Ph.D., author of The Scent of Desire. Research shows that vanilla makes people more relaxed and joyful, such as when you smell baking, while peppermint can boost energy and lavender can zap stress. How about un-ick your phone? Like now. We check our phones 47 times a day on average, according to a recent survey from the professional services firm Deloitte, and if you've taken yours into the ladies' room, you're not the only one. But that means phones carry about 10 times as much bacteria as most toilet seats, says Charles Gerba, Ph.D., a microbiologist and professor at the University of Arizona. British researchers even found that 1 in 6 devices was contaminated with E. coli. Yuck. The Good Housekeeping Cleaning Lab likes Lysol disinfectant wipes, $10 for 240 at Walmart, which kill 99.9% of viruses and bacteria. They don't contain bleach, so they're safe to use on smartphones and tablets. But double-check your phone manufacturer's recommendations. For fitness, be a Stairmaster. Take 10 minutes to run up the stairs in your office or home. A 2017 study in the journal Physiology and Behavior found that tired women who climbed stairs for 10 minutes got a bigger energy boost than those who had the caffeine equivalent of a can of soda or a half cup of coffee, and burn less calories, too. Do yoga with your honey. A Sunday morning couples class could make Sunday afternoon much more fun. Experts at Loyola's Sexual Wellness Clinic believe partner yoga helps couples get more comfortable with each other's body, a boon for better sex. Solo yoga can increase enjoyment as well, affecting arousal, desire, and satisfaction. The practice helps relax your mind and strengthen pelvic muscles. Donate your old clothes. Bye-bye to tight jeans. Keeping smaller clothes as motivation to slim down is baloney, says Kit Yarrow, Ph.D., a psychologist at Golden Gate University, and it tends to backfire. Studies show that muffin-top shaming doesn't help, but focusing on being healthy does. After doing your Goodwill drop-off, take a lighter cooking class, or meet a pal for a hike. To affect your mood, play your song. Blasting any happy-making tune can work multiple mind-body wonders, including reducing pain during exercise, elevating mood, and lowering stress, research shows. So make a playlist. Any songs that float your spirit will do the job. Follow your curiosity. Another sleepy Sunday? Today's the day you try Ethiopian food, attend a ballet, or take a painting class, whatever feels fun. When researchers followed 7,500 people for 25 years, they found that those who complained of major boredom were roughly twice as likely to die from disease. Be your own pen pal. When your inner critic picks up her bullhorn, jot down the kind words you'd say to a friend in the same situation. We have such a hard time channeling compassion for ourselves, says Emma Seppala, Ph.D. of Sanford Center for Compassion and Altruism Research. Writing it down makes it easier to shift perspective. Switch up your routine. Any exercise is good for you, but one study found that people who worked out in multiple ways were less likely to have shortened telomeres, the DNA segments on the end of chromosomes that tend to break down as we age. Longer telomeres are thought to be an indication that a body is aging slowly. Sign up for Tai Chi, rock climbing, crew, and Pilates. So many choices. Snooze to get close. Getting sufficient Z's can make you feel ready for action. A study in the Journal of Sexual Medicine found that women who got more sleep had more desire the next day and an overall easier time becoming aroused. Every additional hour they slept increased their likelihood of having sex by 14%. So skip late-night web searches and hit the hay. And last, pay yourself a compliment. Repeat after us. Today is my day. I'm thankful for me. Positive self-talk can help you focus on what's good in your life, says psychologist Joy Harden Bradford, Ph.D. Research shows that a little vitamin G for gratitude can make you feel happier and more satisfied and even improve your sleep. If you repeat an affirmation related to gratitude in the morning, you're likely to show and feel more of it throughout that day, Bradford says. You are so welcome. And from Real Simple magazine, a humorous look at dieting. The struggle is real. Diets of the near future. Wondering how to slim down to a size negative 2, 2018's new it size? It's easy. Just stop eating for a few weeks. Or just stop eating for 1 week, but spend that week in a raft rushing downriver toward a waterfall, paddling for your life. Bonus, great arms. There are other diet options out there, of course, like the shredded cabbage with cabbage chunks in a cabbage shell diet, or the cabbage soup with raw cabbage garnish regimen, but those are so 2017. Luckily, we managed to sneak a peek at some new diets coming down the pike. The pre-paleo diet. Ever watch the Flintstones? Cavemen were fat, so why on earth would you eat like them? They were barbecuing Bronto burgers every night. No, it's time to start eating like the slim, single-celled organisms that came before the cavemen. They didn't start blimping up to 2 cells for 3 billion years. And what did those petite-sized organisms eat? That's a question I could not find answered on the internet even after an intensive 5-minute search. So let's just assume they mostly ate Italian food in microscopic meals throughout the day. You can, too. The Mediterranean Vacation Diet. Look at yourself in the bikini you bought for your vacation in Santorini. You leave in 3 weeks. Keep the bikini on until you board the plane. The sand diet. No, you don't have to eat sand, silly. Well, not a ton of it. You only have to sprinkle a little of it on your food. In fact, this diet recommends replacing the salt in your shaker with sand, which, talk about a win-win, also helps with hypertension. Watch your weight dwindle away. Along with possibly your teeth, which are just more weight anyway. The Nutrishake Shack Plan. No need to deprive yourself of succulent burgers and frozen custard. Just throw them in a juicer and drink as much of the loose brown liquid as you'd like for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The 5-day Cheetox. If you'd want to go on a cleanse, but need something to make you thirsty enough to drink wheatgrass juice, you can spend a weekend in the Mojave with nothing but a mason jar of the stuff and a baseball cap. You don't want your nose to burn. Or you can try the Cheetox, that would be Cheetos, like I think made into a drink, method at home. Eat a giant bag of Cheetos every night just before bed and avoid all liquids. Don't even wash the orange off your fingers. In the morning, drink the wheatgrass juice you brought back from the Mojave. Go vegan, not vegan, V-E-G-A-N. Repeat after me. Vodka, eclairs, ganja, and Nutella. Even if you don't lose weight, who cares? Life is good, and boy, is that wiggly thing in front of you cute. Why not bring it home and make it a little shoebox bed? Oh, wait, it's your hand. Hi, hand. You'll feel pretty damn good for the few moments you're awake and functioning each day. And last, the all-gluten diet, because you know it's coming. Oh, my. A little less tongue-in-cheek from Real Simple. Actually, it's time to move on to some recipes. So we have a couple 20-minute meals for you. This is from Good Housekeeping. First, creamy lemon chicken pasta. Cook 12 ounces linguine per package directions, adding a cup of frozen peas during the last 2 minutes of cooking, and reserving 1 cup pasta cooking liquid before draining. Meanwhile, heat 2 tablespoons olive oil in a large skillet on medium-high. Season 12 ounces of skinless, boneless chicken breast, cut into 1-inch chunks, with 1/4 teaspoon each kosher salt and pepper, and cook until golden brown on all sides, 4 to 5 minutes. Finally, grate 2 teaspoons zest from 1 to 2 large lemons. Set aside. Squeeze 1/4 cup lemon juice and add to skillet and cook, scraping up any browned bits. Add 4-ounce low-fat cream cheese, cubed and at room temperature, and stir till melted. Remove from heat. Fold in lemon zest and 1/2 cup grated Parmesan, then 1/4 cup flat-leaf parsley, roughly chopped. Toss with pasta, adding reserved liquid as necessary, and serve immediately. Pork chops with balsamic braised cabbage and apples. This has 10-minute prep time, total 25. Cook 4 slices bacon, chopped, in a Dutch oven on medium until crisp. With a slotted spoon, transfer to a paper towel. Add 1 chopped onion and 2 teaspoons caraway seeds and cook, stirring occasionally 6 minutes. Stir in 1 Gala apple, sliced, and 1/2 small cabbage, about 1 pound, cored and shredded. 1/2 cup balsamic vinegar, 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt, and 1/4 teaspoon pepper. Cook, covered, stirring occasionally until the cabbage is just tender, 6 to 8 minutes. Meanwhile, season 4 small bone-in pork chops, 1 inch thick, with 1/2 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Heat 2 teaspoons olive oil in a large cast iron skillet on medium-high, and cook pork until browned and just cooked through, 2 to 3 minutes per side. Transfer to plates and add 1/2 cup apple cider and 1 tablespoon balsamic vinegar to cook. Simmer till syrupy, spoon over the pork. Fold 1/2 cup flat-leaf parsley, roughly chopped, and reserved bacon into the cabbage and serve with the pork. Butternut squash and white bean soup. Prep time 15 minutes. Total time 45. Cut the neck off a large butternut squash. Reserve base for another use. Peel and cut into 1/2-inch pieces. Heat 1 tablespoon olive oil in a nonstick skillet on medium. Add squash and cook covered, stirring occasionally, 8 minutes. Meanwhile, in a Dutch oven, on medium, cook 1 chopped onion in 1 tablespoon oil, covered, stirring occasionally, 6 minutes. Stir in 2 cloves garlic and 1 tablespoon ginger, both finely chopped. Cook 1 minute. Add 6 cups low-sodium chicken broth, 6 sprigs fresh thyme and squash, and bring to a boil. Using a fork, mash 1 15-ounce can of white beans rinsed, and add to the soup along with 1 15-ounce can chickpeas rinsed. Cook a half cup couscous per package directions, fluff with a fork, and fold in a quarter cup each pistachios and cilantro, both roughly chopped, a quarter cup of dried apricots, finely chopped, and one sliced scallion. Serve the soup topped with the couscous mixture. Seared salmon with lentil salad. This is a 20-minute top to bottom. Heat a large skillet on medium. Season 4 5-ounce skinless salmon fillets with a quarter teaspoon each salt, kosher salt, and pepper. Add 2 teaspoons olive oil to the skillet, then salmon and halved lemon, cut size down, 1/2 lemon, and cook until the salmon is opaque throughout, 5 minutes per side. Squeeze the charred lemon halves over the salmon. Meanwhile, in a large bowl, whisk together 2 tablespoons each olive oil and fresh lemon juice, 2 teaspoons Dijon mustard, 1 teaspoon fresh thyme, and a quarter teaspoon each salt and pepper. Toss with 1/2 small red onion, finely chopped, and 1 15-ounce can lentils, rinsed. Fold in 1 small seedless cucumber, cut into pieces, 4 cups baby spinach, and 1/4 cup dill, very roughly chopped, and serve with salmon. And there's a little aside here. What makes this dish so heart healthy? It provides omega-3 fatty acids from salmon and has limited sodium and saturated fat. Plus, it's packed with cholesterol-lowering fiber and blood pressure-balancing minerals from lentils and spinach. And one last 20-minute one, lamb souvlaki with cucumber mint salad. Rub 1 pound lamb steak, 1 inch thick, with 1 tablespoon of olive oil. Then season with 1/2 teaspoon each dried oregano, ground coriander, kosher salt, and pepper. Cook in grill pan or skillet on medium-high to desired doneness, 2 to 3 minutes, per side for medium-rare. Transfer to cutting board and let it rest 5 minutes before slicing. Meanwhile, in a bowl, toss 1/2 small red onion, thinly sliced, 1/2 seedless cucumber, very thinly sliced, and 1/4 cup pitted Kalamata olives, roughly chopped, with 1 tablespoon red wine vinegar and 2 tablespoons olive oil. Spread about 2 tablespoons Greek yogurt onto each of 4 warm flatbreads. Top with the lamb, cucumber salad, crumbled feta cheese, and fresh mint. Here's a butter that does everything. Maybe it won't wash the dishes, but this easy herb butter will instantly turn veggies, a baked potato, or a simple piece of fish or chicken into something heavenly. To make, squeeze 2 cloves of garlic through a press, sprinkle with 1 1/2 teaspoons of salt, and using a knife, rub together to make a paste. Transfer to a bowl. Mix in 2 sticks softened unsalted butter, then 1/2 cup each finely chopped parsley and chives, and 1/2 teaspoon pepper. On a piece of parchment, shape the mixture into a cylinder, twist ends to seal. Wrap in plastic and refrigerate for up to 2 weeks, or freeze for up to 2 months. And we've run out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazines. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latshaw, reading for the Triangle Reading Service, Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138.